Psalms 27. We're going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to have you stay seated, if you will, and just follow along as I read these 14 verses. The Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for an opportunity to have a service. Lord, these are difficult days and trying times, and many of our people are either sick or being cautious, and we certainly understand. We pray that you'll bless them, and hopefully they also will be able to watch online. But Lord, for those of us who have gathered, we look to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, who, where two or three are gathered together, there he will be in the midst. So, Lord Jesus, we want you to know we love you, and you're the reason we've assembled together. To show our love and allegiance to the Savior who gave his life for our salvation. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your word and by your Spirit. And I pray that you'll give us a truth that will help each and every one of us. It is something certainly that all of us have wrestled with at times. And I pray that you'll give us clear instruction from your word. We love you, Lord. Meet with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, can you wait on God? Can you wait on God? Seems like that's a hard thing to do sometimes when you need God to come through and you're just waiting and waiting. And sometimes just waiting. And you're wanting God to answer that prayer or fix that circumstance or deal with one of life's problems that you're going through. And you're going to find that God isn't always in the rush that we are. God had it all planned out before we were ever born. And he's got it right on time. Psalms 27 has always been one of my favorite chapters from Since I was an early teen, probably around 13 or 14, Psalms 27 became very important to me. It was around that time that I started sharing my faith and witnessing. I think at 13 I was going out. And I would always say, the Lord is my strength and my salvation, or light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I would go out sharing the gospel, but I constantly was saying that to myself over and over again. And the reason was because I was scared to death. We used to be taught, pray before you knock on that door. I'd pray nobody be home. And so that's how I was. I was very shy and very timid. I don't know what happened to that, but I was very much so like that as a young teenager. And I quoted verses like that. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I would quote that over and over again because I didn't always feel very bold, but I knew to claim scripture. I loved David when he says, one thing have I desired, and that's what he's seeking for, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to see the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He loved church. And he said, that's one thing I want to live at church. I want to live at his temple. I want to be where God is. I love that passage where he says, and when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It is a response. I don't know if you grew up like this, but I grew up in a church where we had responsive readings. You know, back many years, a lot of churches did. And so the pastor would read a verse, then we would read a verse, he would read a verse, they would read a verse, and back and forth. But little did I know that while that was going on, I was memorizing a whole lot of scripture. Well, because I went to church. And every Sunday they would do that. I grew up when attendance records were kept for Sunday school. And I remember you'd get a little pin for 1 year perfect attendance. And then you get a wreath around it for two. And then you get bars and for five and all that. I think after my 10 years, the church stopped doing that, stopped giving out pins. But I could have had perfect attendance for about 30 years in a row without ever missing a Sunday. I think about every service I missed, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I went to at least 10 others. Missions conferences, preaching conferences, teen rallies, youth camp, all of the different things. I tried to be around God's people, and I found that if I wanted to be a teenager who loved the Lord, I had to get around the crowd that loved on Jesus. And they were always in church. And so I was always in church. And that was the crowd I grew up with as a teenager. Now, they weren't all in my church. My closest friends were within a 50 or 60 mile radius, but we went to youth camp together, youth rallies together, things along those lines. And I love where David is saying, my face, Lord, will I seek. And that's something that ought to challenge all of us. Tonight I'm looking at the very last verse. And verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so there's a matter of just waiting on God. Waiting for God to come through, waiting for God to answer, waiting for God to give instruction or information or counsel, waiting to know his will and follow it. Over and over, we find that throughout the Psalms. David particularly challenged everyone who would read his Psalms to wait on the Lord. Now, at the same time, we also see David's desire for God to come through right away. So not only do we see him encouraging patience and waiting on the Lord, we also see verses that show his impatience. And if we're honest with ourselves and with God, there's been many, many times where we felt like the Lord was late on the issue because we'd been praying for a while and he hadn't come through. And so we get impatient. The Bible says in Psalm 69, verse 3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Waiting for an answer, waiting for some supernatural remedy to our problems and God to come through. So he knew how to wait on God and he knew to wait on God, but he also knew how hard it was to do that. Now I want to speak particularly to that issue. I don't want to just challenge you to wait on God. I want you to understand just how difficult it is. But then I want to share with you some things that I think would be helpful when it comes to waiting on God to help us become a little more patient. And so the question is, can you wait on God? To start with, I want to give an illustration of someone who was waiting on God. The Bible tells us about Abram, who later had his name changed to Abraham, and most of us are familiar with his story. At the age of 75, he was promised by God that he would be the father of a great nation. We know that 15 years later, he had a son, and his name was Ishmael. And then we know also, I think 13 years later, and then we also know that his son of promise, which was God's promise, was born to Abraham when he was 100 and Sarah was 90. And that's when we see that his son was born. Isaac became his son of promise, the one that God had promised to him at 75, and yet he's 100 before Isaac is born. Isaac waited 40 years to get married, to find Rebekah. Now, I don't know, if I was Abraham and I knew that I was to be the father of a great nation, I think I would be encouraging my son, go get married. But he waits till 40. He marries Rebekah and they don't have any children till he's 60. 20 years. And they can't have children. And I'm sure that Abraham's still scratching his head over that, because Ishmael is over here multiplying like, you know, children everywhere. And yet, the son of promise, him and his wife can't have children. And he's waiting on the Lord. Abraham is 140 when he gets married. He's 160 before they have children. And then they have two boys, Esau and Jacob. Abraham's 160 years old, and now he has one son of promise and two grandchildren, and he's doing his math and thinking, great nation. How? 1, 2, 3. You know, God's math is not like our math either, is it? His timing is not like ours. His math is not like ours. You know, little is much when God is in it. We love that saying. But nobody wants to have little. You know, little is much if God is in it. But we don't say, praise God, I have little. It's like, I wish I had more. But it's a good thing to know that God can do anything with nothing and with very little. But Abraham is 160 years old. He's waiting for the promise. 85 years have now passed since he was told he's going to be the father of a great nation. 47 more years pass before Jacob, the two boys were Esau and Jacob, but 47 years passed before Jacob gets married. You recall at 40 he goes to Laban. He works 7 years for the wrong wife, works 7 years for the right wife. Then he works more. He's there for 20 years. In the next 20 plus years, Jacob has his sons and one daughter. In fact, he did not have all 12 in those next 20 years because Jacob was 91 when Joseph was born. He was 130 when he stood before Pharaoh, which means that Joseph at that time was 39 years of age when he met his brothers for the first time. 63 more years passed, and Jacob stands before Pharaoh at age 130. Abraham's died in the process of Jacob having his boys. He lives to be 175 years of age. So, you know, Isaac has children, but they're 15 years of age, the twins, when Abraham dies. So he dies having one son, two grandchildren, and he's waiting on God. He has just entered Egypt, Jacob at 130 when he meets Pharaoh. He will stay there 17 years. He will die at 147. He goes in with 70, counting his family that are already in Egypt. That's counting Joseph's family. And now 215 years have passed since the promise. They will stay in Egypt for 430 years. They will wander in the wilderness for 40 more years before they ever set foot as a people in the promised land that was promised to Abraham 685 years earlier before he sets foot as a people. And by the way, now they're 3.5 million. They're a great people. When it says as the stars of heaven, it's talking about the visible stars of heaven, not all the ones they couldn't see. And it was more than the stars that they could see. But Abraham had to wait on God. Now we know according to the New Testament and the story of Lazarus and the rich man, that there's Abraham's bosom where those who die in faith go. And then there's the flames where those who die not in faith are. And there's a great gulf fix. And out of those 685 years, Abraham has waited 410 of those years in paradise looking for the promise. Waiting for the promise. Can you wait on God? Could you wait on God so long that the answer to your prayer is in your grandchildren's day? or great-grandchildren or children's. Let me mention this. Waiting on God takes patience. That pretty much goes without saying, doesn't it? Luke chapter 21, verse 19 says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Be very patient with God. Be very patient with yourself. I find as Christians, we're not only impatient with God, we're pretty much impatient with everything else. After I'd pastored for about 10 years, the neighbor which we lived by on Bedford Drive, where we first lived when we moved to Oregon City, gave me a sign to put in my car. It says, "Drive no faster than your guardian angel can fly." I was always thankful mine could fly pretty fast. Keep up with me just fine. Waiting on God takes patience. I'm always in a hurry. I always want to do it yesterday. Not tomorrow, not today, yesterday. I want to get it done. Someone said, if you can envision it, you can do it. I want to do it as soon as I envision it. I want to start pressing toward that. I find that I get impatient with God's timetable. I get impatient with my timetable. I get impatient with others' timetable. I think that's a little bit of the human nature. We all get a little bit impatient. Waiting on God is hard for mature Christians, much less new Christians, but mature Christians. It takes an understanding that God's timing is not our timing. Remember when that revelation first hit you that God's timing is not your timing? And instead of being so excited, it was really, you know, like, that's not the answer I was wanting. I was wanting His timing to come up and match mine. But we have to wait on the Lord. Psalms 69 verse 17 says, "And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. David says, "Lord, they're trying to kill me. Help me now." Psalms 143 verse 7 says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." Now what I'm saying, waiting on God is hard for mature Christians. This is David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. And yet, he had problems of impatience. He wanted God to speed up. He wanted to say, "God, put it in high gear. Come on." If you've ever prayed about something very dear to your heart, you've probably prayed that same way. I can think of many, many different times in my life, and by the way, most all of them have been since I've been pastor of Grandview Baptist Church. I don't know what it is about Oregon. It's like, "Lord, hurry up. The plans have been in the county for 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. Come on, Lord, hurry up, hurry up." And everything just takes longer than you think. And it's just so impatient. Like, I remember when we built this building, I would come on a Wednesday night or sometimes on Sunday morning and say, "Praise God, this next week we're going to pour the foundation." And then it would rain. The foundation wouldn't get poured. And so I'd come back the next Sunday and said, "Well, it didn't get poured last week because, of course, it rained. But Lord willing, this week," then it'd rain again. And then we'd come back and we'd say, "Well, it looks like it's going to be dry this week. I think we're going to pour it." But now the concrete people were on another job and we have to wait another week because they've been waiting on us. Now they're It got where I came and said, I'm going to lie to you again. Because I felt like everything I said about what was going to happen never happened. I said, I don't intend to just stand up here and lie about things. I really believe it's going to happen. It just didn't come together. There's been many times I prayed and I prayed and I prayed about a certain thing that had a timetable, at least in my mind, I thought it did. I needed to see this happen. I prayed. And finally, I remember getting to the place that said, Lord, I'm not even going to pray about it anymore. If you want to do it in your own sweet time, I'm good with that. And that next week, the answer to the prayer came. And I thought, I wish I'd adopted that attitude a long time ago. But it taught me that the best thing to do when it comes to God answering prayer is just wait on the Lord. Just wait. With a good spirit, without an anxious heart, and be good with God's timetable. In just a little while, I'll mention a few things that will help in that. Waiting on God tries our faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And many times it tries our faith because we have this mistaken theology that God's job is to answer prayer, our job is to pray for things, and God's job is to answer things. That's mistaken theology. I think sometimes the reason the Lord lets us pray and pray and pray and pray is because He enjoys hearing our voice. And if we didn't need something, we might not talk to Him as much. I've said to several of our members throughout the years who've been told they have cancer, I would say, I don't envy what you'll go through health-wise, but I do envy the relationship you and God are going to have in the next few months. Because you don't go through a crisis, but what you talk to God all the time. All the time. I try to pray for people often. But I know if I had what they had, I would be talking to God far more than I talk to Him. How do we wait on God? Let me share just a few things that I've alluded to. Three things that will help us to wait on God. First of all, rest upon His awareness of our situation. We pray almost as though God didn't know. Lord, could I let you in on a little secret? My life is going down. Do you know the problems I'm facing? Do you know the financial weight? Do you understand that we have this and this that has to be done? Lord, do you understand? I'm just being kind here, Lord. But see, we pray as though God doesn't know. But if you're going to be patient with God, you have to rest upon His awareness of your situation. He already knows. The Bible says in Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. He already knows. A few years ago, I was praying about something, and I think it was one of those times where we were going through the summer and, you know, God's been blessing us financially, but summer's never the best. That's always when Jeremy sends me a financial report. Oh, yeah, oh, okay. But God takes care of everything. And you know, I was praying about a situation like that, and I was getting a little bit concerned, and then it dawned on me something I learned in theology when I was, 18 years of age. I learned that God lives in the eternal now. And I learned that God lives outside of time, and God does not look at time as a succession of events. That's what time is, a succession of events, seconds, if you will. But God looks at time like a scroll that's unrolled. That's why he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. And he's everything in between. He doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. I still am. At the same time, he was our God, and we weren't even born yet. Behold the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Well, how's that timetable work? Well, because God sees time at one glimpse. He sees it all. So it dawned on me the very thing I was worried about, God's already seen the answer to. God already knows it. He already has the answer. So I stopped worrying. Because the very thing I was praying for, God already had a solution for. It's just that my time had not come up to his time. But he'd already solved it. Because in his mind, he's taking care of the problems of our life. We just have to learn to wait on God. Rest upon his awareness of our situation. I also learned in Bible college, has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Because he already knows everything. So he has no fresh ideas. He has no information that we let him in on. He already knows everything. Secondly, pour out your heart to him. Now, it's almost contradictory to know that you can rest in his awareness of your circumstances, and yet the second thing is pour out your heart to him. God does not see that as impatience. God sees that as you seeking his face. God sees it as you depending totally upon him. By the way, that's what the word faith means. Amen. It's dependence on God. So we depend on God for salvation. That's what faith in Christ is. Pour out your heart to him. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. James chapter 5, verse 16. Talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual fervent prayer. Last Sunday night, we prayed for two of our members. And they both have some health issues that we're praying for. And we anoint him with oil, put a little oil. And then we gather around as deacons and pastoral staff and place our hand on their shoulder and we pray for them. We pray that God would do a miracle and that God would hear our prayer and God would answer. And we pray fervently. I don't mean we're yelling, I mean it's heartfelt. Lord, please, this is one of your choice servants. Touch this lady's life and health. Touch this man. Lord, heal him. We need him. His wife needs him. Lord, please answer our prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a right. Pour out your heart to Him. So first, you rest upon His awareness of your situation. Secondly, you pour out your heart to Him. God always likes that, whether you have a big need or little need or no needs. He loves for you to pour out your heart to Him. Thirdly and lastly, realize the Lord will go with you through every situation. Well, Lord, if you don't come through, I'll go through bankruptcy. No, you won't do it alone. Lord, if you don't come through, I may have to go to the cancer ward. Well, you won't do it alone. Lord, if you don't come through, I may do this, or it may happen this way. This may result. Well, you won't do it alone. Wherever you go as a believer, God goes with you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God always goes with us. That's the promise that Jesus gave us. He's always with us. I know we pray like, "Lord, we're in church, show up." But He shows up when we're not in church. Wherever we are as His believers, Jesus is with us. Through every situation, we can trust Him. You can have faith. It's going to be okay. Well, where am I going to live? It'll be okay. When I was 37 years ago, driving to Oregon, having never been here, coming from Arkansas with all of our possessions in a big truck. And this is before they had these air cushion springs. This is where a big truck bounced all over. I've often said, if it's sort of crude, but if you were to pick your nose, you could stab your brain. You can't do that. And I'd never driven one of those before. I never realized it was like a workout. And Miss Vicky's beside me with two children on her lap. And a truck full of stuff, pulling a car behind it, going to a place we'd never been. And I'm saying to my wife, "Honey, it's going to be okay. God's going with us." And then I'd pray, say, "Lord, please, please, Lord, please. Lord, I'm taking my family. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where we're going to stay. I don't know where we're going to start a church. I don't even know the name of the church yet. Lord, you got to be with me. It's going to be great. God's with us. Praise the Lord. Please, Lord, please. It's got to be great. Lord, please. I've told everybody." You can have faith when you don't even see the answers. But you trust in His character. You trust in the nature of God to come through for His children. He always has, and He always will. You're in good hands with God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The young people are here tonight. That's an important lesson to learn. For those my age and older, we're still working at learning it real good. But it's a lesson that all of us as God's children are going to have to learn. Wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen thine heart. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this time that we can be challenged to wait on You and know that You know everything about our life. Your timing is always the right timing. And because of that, Lord, with great confidence, we can be patient. We can just trust You. We can know that You always have our best interest at heart. We always know, Lord, that Your timing will always fit perfectly with Your plan. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us just to realize that, keep pouring our heart out, and just know that you're going to come through because you always have. 'Tis grace hath brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Thank you, Lord, for giving us patience, and thank you for being a God who always takes care of his children. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Piano's playing. Maybe God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're going through a season where you're impatient. And you might have to trust the Lord. Why don't you just talk to him right now? Maybe you have health issues that need an answer. Maybe there are circumstances in your life that God needs to come through. Maybe there's pieces of his will for your life you do not have yet. But he's got a plan, and he'll reveal it at just the right time. God bless you. So good to have each one of you here with us this evening. Remember, this Sunday morning, Brother Lehman is going to be preaching. Justin is going to preach in Romans. I'm looking forward to that. On Sunday night, I'm going to be going on in chapter 13 of Hebrews, and he's going to be dealing with Romans chapter 13 as well. I gave him the best part. It's about yielding to God-given authorities. So I'm letting you wrestle with that one right there. And he'll give us the word on it, what the Word of God says about it. Thank you, and continue to be praying. These are difficult times for all of our church. I was talking to someone just last Sunday, actually, who was visiting our church and came from another church in town that they'd been attending for a long time, I guess. And they were saying, well, we're just from a little church. And I said, well, you said you went to this church. They said, yeah. I said, that was the biggest church in town when I moved here. Well, it's gone down. Folks, this COVID has affected church all over this country and all around this world. There are big churches that are having half of their people show up on a Sunday morning if they're lucky. God has given us real good Sundays. It's going to look a little sparse on Wednesdays. We had a good crowd Sunday night, but it's going to look a little sparse on Wednesdays until all of this gets behind us. Now, when will that happen? No one knows. So let's just trust his timing, and let's trust that he knows best. It's not our church, it's his church, and we're in good hands. Keep showing up, keep loving Jesus, keep growing in the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed.